previously on Compassion Radio.
Graham saw the opportunity of going as a way not just to build bridges, but to open a pathway to other countries in Eastern Europe that he hadn't actually been able to have contact with yet.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Hello and welcome to the Daily Radio Ministry Journal, known as Compassion Radio. So grateful and blessed to have you along with us today. We know that many of you listen to your favorite programs in so many different ways other than just the radio, via podcast, iTunes, and the like. Well, we do post our programs each day right to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Simply go to the homepage and you'll see them right there. That way, you can always be sure to catch the program, even if you missed it on radio. Today, we wrap up the second part of some thoughts and remembrances of the life of the Reverend Billy Graham, as Bram welcomes in our very distinguished guest and longtime friend to this ministry, Dr. David Aikman. Bram, it's all yours.
We're back with David Aikman today for part two on the life and legacy of Billy Graham. David, he's been big in the news the past few days because of his passing, but he was kind of missing in action for a number of years because of his health. You know, we always venerate the lions in winter, and this is definitely a winter in many ways for our country, for the world, and for the loss of great Christian leaders like Billy Graham. We need to take time out to understand for our generation what that means. And you've been so gracious in your writing, David, about how we should frame heroes of the faith like Billy Graham. So welcome back for part two of this program.
Thanks so much.
We tackled yesterday the reality of the man. Any good biography you're going to write has to deal with the liabilities and the virtues, or you're not a true human being. People aren't interesting unless we know both sides of the story, so to speak. But in the case of Billy Graham and other heroes of the faith that you've written about, like, for example, in your book, Great Souls, you profile people like Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, Billy Graham, and you go after these character studies from a reporter's keen eye and insight that cuts both ways. You use words like a scalpel. This was your vocation for so many years. But there's more to the redemptive story than just getting to the bare facts and laying them on the table. In the case of Billy Graham, there was a redemption working in and through the man that peppered even his very words with grace, which made him special in that regard, which I'm sad to say, why does this have to be so unique to someone like Billy Graham? Why is it not more common in the church today?
I think one of the things that is needed for these virtues to be shown in any individual is sheer courage.
Interesting.
Let me give you an example of Billy Graham's own life. After the Jim and Tammy Baker scandal at PGL,
yes,
one of the things that happened was that Jim Baker was actually sent to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? One of the few people who publicly took the time to visit him in prison, pray with him, and encourage him was Billy Graham.
Yeah.
Now, here is a guy. Billy Graham was the epitome of selflessness and humility and integrity running in his own ministry. But he publicly identified with a fellow believer who'd really gotten into trouble with the law. And he basically said, I'm not going to show disrespect and dishonor for this man by not agreeing to meet with him in public.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was an amazing show of grace.
And grace is the right word for it, is it not? It shows authority, and it doesn't pander to sin, but it refuses to disregard dignity that God grants.
That's right. You know, any Christian, any public figure, if he wants to reach a broader audience for what he's speaking about, whatever his policies or attitudes are, cannot effectively do so unless he demonstrates a human vulnerability.
Yes.
That is not a weakness, but just an acceptance of his own flawed nature and the right of other people, if they choose, to criticize him. And that, I think, epitomized Billy Graham's life from start to finish.
Now, you've written about him a number of times. I mentioned the book Great Souls. What other books have you highlighted Billy Graham in that people might be interested in looking up today?
Well, my full biography of Graham's life, Billy Graham, His Life and Influence, was written and published in 2007. It's still in print. And that was different from other people's biographies of Graham because I really took the trouble to follow up his international connections, his visits to China, to North Korea, to Russia, and to difficult parts of the world, because I think he showed an equal courage to the courage to be identified with Jim Baker by going to places where he didn't really know before he arrived what his reception would be like or what the consequences of his going would be. And that, again, shows courage to be a really important ingredient of any effective Christian life.
Amen to that. We as a ministry have built an ethic on going places others won't be willing to go. And I think it's partly because my predecessor, Norm Nelson, pursued the coattails of Jesus in the least likely places. And he learned that from the example of Billy Graham over the 20th century. And because of that, some doors were opened and opportunities were had to sit down with people that would be considered enemies of the state. There were more than one occasion where Norm sat down for peacemaking amongst Muslim sects within Iraq and Iran, that people would say, you don't meet with those people. You can't meet with those people. It's illegal to meet with those people.
Right. Well, that's wonderful. That's very like the example of the British clergyman, the vicar of Baghdad,
Andrew White,
who frequently sat down in Iraq with warring and squabbling Muslim groups and brought them to peace with each other.
Yes.
They should be the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, is a wonderful beatitude, and it still applies to everything Christians do.
And Norm had the privilege of sitting down with Canon Andrew a number of times for some of those meetings, and being one of those agents of change and quiet conversation off of the side to help move things along. And what an honor that was for him.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
And over the years, Norm talked with humble pride about being able to participate in something so profound as that, and knowing that they could literally count the lives that were not dying on the streets the next week because of the fatwas that were written, as the peacemakers were willing to make those fatwas public.
That's right. Yes. Well, that's great. I mean, I'm so glad you've gotten to know Andrew, and especially with his health struggles and so forth. He's a hero of the faith.
And all great heroes of the faith will struggle with something, will they not?
They will, yes. I mean, we all have adversaries affecting our life. Basically, all of the adversaries thrown against us are thrown by the enemy of our souls, the accuser of the brethren. And we need God's help in being able to resist and defeat these adversaries. But the point is, Christians who go out and do things in the unknown, like yourself and your ministry, have to take risks that they're going to be shot at. And people are shot at, and sometimes they're actually hit by the enemies. And we just have to continue to be bold and courageous and do what God calls us to do.
And in that metaphor, David, I would say that every Christian writer is a war correspondent. If we're embroiled in the spiritual battles and we recognize them as such, we're going to be a lot more intentional about the kind of things we write about and the things we turn our eyes toward for the benefit of the kingdom.
Yeah.
You said earlier in our last program that everything that we write is eternal.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Let's talk a few minutes, if you would, about the ongoing legacy of Billy's life. I sense a dignity in the man and a humility and a kindness, an empathetic gene in him that was willing to reach out regardless of his reputation. But it also inspired a whole generation of evangelists and pastors. And I was thinking in the back of my mind about all the volunteers over all of those crusades for the past 60 years or so. As he trained up people through his organization to be witness to God's transformation in people's lives, it emboldened young people especially to say, I could do this. I could be in the ministry.
Yes.
And we know that tens of thousands were inspired to step across from secular work within the secular fields, but moved across that line into vocational ministry because of that leadership. And I can't think of a better mark of apostleship in the world than inspiring pastors to step forward and become the servants of God that he desires for his body.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about what you think the long-term effect is going to be of the Billy Graham Association and the man behind that.
Well, I'll tell you what the achievement that Billy Graham spoke most fondly of in his own way was the Barefoot Evangelism Conferences that he held, I think, two or three times in Amsterdam. where these third world evangelists and pastors were invited in for teaching, for encouragement, for financial support. Many of those people were profoundly affected by the effort to reach out to them. And subsequently, the work was even more fruitful than it had previously been.
Yes.
But I think the longer-term impact of Graham's evangelism worldwide was the manifest demonstration that a single individual human being who spoke up for Christ without any apology, with boldness and consistency in his life, could absolutely affect thousands, maybe millions of people in every country he visited. And I think many countries of the world are going to remember that.
And it seems to me that he had a heart for the kingdom culture already. A sense that heaven was going to be about this kind of fellowship that showed great respect and dignity and joy and just being related to others that Christ himself had adopted and made princes and princesses in the kingdom. So it was a joy and an honor for him to sit down with people from every stripe, every race, every economic strata, because they were just faint wisps of memories compared to the eternal reality that we are in Christ as his royalty and his children.
Right.
And so he was able to step into that kingdom experience so easily. And I think he always had that in the front of his mind when he's meeting with the beggar on the street of India or a king in a country that had thousands of years of history. Either one still stood on the same ground at the foot of the cross, and he never lost a sight of that.
We'll get right back to this terrific interview in just a moment. But first, this word from Cher Nelson.
Hello, friends. This is Cher Nelson. For those of you who are listening, I'm just so grateful that you're here. Because our message hasn't changed, our hearts haven't changed, our purpose hasn't changed, and our partnership with you hasn't changed. We all have been overwhelmed with stories of desperation and need. There are so many things happening, and I have to tell you that we need your hearts of compassion today, too. Although I want you to reach out in tangible ways to people around you, I need to tell you that we need your help financially, too. Please know that we know the economy is difficult for many people, but we don't want to lose our voice bringing you the stories of what's happening around the world. We don't want to lose our opportunity to bring Christians to you that need your love and support and your prayer. Please love us. And please, if you haven't, join our vision team. God bless you.
Join us as we bring the compassion of Jesus this month to the neediest places on earth. Just give us a call, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. Friends, we don't go unless you go with us. So give us a call today. And now, back to Bram and his guest, David Aikman, on today's Compassion Radio.
When he's meeting with the beggar on the street of India or a king in a country that had thousands of years of history, either one still stood on the same ground at the foot of the cross, and he never lost a sight of that. And I don't think this is especially rocket science. It's just simply a man who was obedient and took the word of God seriously. This is what God wants from us. He wants us to come to him so he can adopt us. And he lived that out everywhere he went, and people responded to that.
Right.
So I think that everybody who responds to that in the same way in their own heart, saying, I'm an heir of the kingdom.
Right.
I have the great privilege of representing my king as an ambassador and a prince.
Right.
And I get to serve in his temple forever.
Absolutely.
What an honor that is. We all are Billy Graham if we're willing to be.
Yes. I remember when Billy Graham visited China in 1987, he made a special point privately of visiting the apartment where the famous Chinese house church leader Wang Mingdao and his wife were staying. That was a courageous thing to do, mainly because it really annoyed the communist hosts who were receiving him in China. Now, of course, they didn't object to it. They could have actually said, you can't do that. But they realized that by insisting on visiting Wang Mingdao, Graham was showing that he had an authority spiritually over members of the body of Christ that the Communist Party was not able to deal with. And I just applaud that particular gesture.
Play with this thought for a second, David. You can't ignore the existence of somebody who's being loved.
Yeah, that's true.
How do we live that out in the 21st century? Who are the loved but are not known to be loved out there that we as the church need to pursue for the testimony and for the honor of Christ and for the benefit of the kingdom? Who are we missing at this point in this century that we need to go forth and find?
Well, I think one answer to that is it's difficult to know who those people are because invariably they're so humble that they don't bring attention to themselves, and it's often difficult to find them. But over a period of time, you do begin to see the character of Christian personalities who are demonstrating godliness, boldness, consistency, and courage. You begin to, if you can, get alongside them and learn from them whatever you can learn. And similarly, we have to try to seek out such people and encourage them and build them up and bring them to the attention of everybody else in the world. So it's a double challenge.
Yes, it is.
And we have to try to live our lives in the same way, partly at least parallel to the way they are living theirs.
Amen to that, David. Now, this is exactly why we appeal to our Compassion Radio audience to make them not just listeners, but partners in the work that we do, because that's exactly what our pursuit is, to find those that God is already using in profound ways,
right. But
not necessarily in the ways of success that the West understands in their language. We are talking about a cross-cultural investigation here.
Yes.
The kingdom culture is transformational in every culture, and it has certain common values and ethics that will always be present where the Church of God is alive and well. And we find those humble, great heroes of the faith when we go to see them and to know them. So it's our great honor as a radio program, as an outreach ministry, as a conduit of relationship within the kingdom to go find those people. And so I thank my partners out there on this program again for sending us to go find these people. And we're going to be doing that very thing here in the near future. And I get a chance to head back into the Middle East and North Africa very shortly. We'll tell our listeners more about that in the days to come. But David, as a closing note here, can you tell me what you expect the church to be about in the next 20 or 50 years? Is there something about the continuation of the legacy of Billy Graham that's going to be a new dawn? Or have we reached the end of an era? Which is it? Is the sun setting on the Christian church and witness around the world, or is it dawning?
No, I don't think it's setting. I believe there is going to be a real new awakening in the United States and around the world. I think that's definitely going to be coming into being. And we're going to be seeing preachers and people who have a remarkable ability to demonstrate signs and wonders of the Lord that's going to attract attention to their preaching the gospel from people who would otherwise never listen to them. And I think we have to be attentive to wherever that is happening, encourage the people involved in that. And be open to new ways of living out the gospel in our own lives, jobs, and ministries in a manner that can draw people in who otherwise would not have known about it.
And those new ways are the things we have to pursue. And I imagine you have some ideas there, David. What do you think is one of the bigger changes, either technologically or the way we interact socially, that is providing new opportunities for the gospel to go forth, even in the Western culture?
Well, I think the internet is an incredible instrument of communication. I mean, I can sit in my room here 3,000 miles from the United States, and I can phone people up even further west in Hawaii and so forth, and I can get YouTube videos free from the internet.
Yeah.
I think we have more access to instruments of Christian persuasion through the electronic media than has ever been available in the past.
Right.
I would encourage Christians to continue to develop any programs that they've already begun using the internet as a basic tool of dissemination of the message.
I so agree.
Absolutely no limit to what you can do.
And we're just beginning, as I would say, understanding the ramifications of what is still alternate media, but things that are becoming more and more important along the way, that internet is absolutely a part of our broadcast and our communications effort and central part of our mission. Yes, it's opening up the ways. I think about Moody and Spurgeon, all the other ones that were willing to march within an inch of hell to snatch people out from the flames, because that's where the people were that God wanted to save, and that meant going down to Skid Row in the middle of all this mess. We know full well that the internet itself is within an inch of hell, if not a raging inferno. So we have to be willing, as a body of Christ, as a kingdom, to set up outposts and be ambassadors right where the people are. And, of course, the world is now truly on the web.
Yes, I completely agree with that.
Now, David, give us a closing word, if you would. What's your admonition or your exhortation, your encouragement to the body out there and to the people that might be listening to you today?
Well, thank you for giving me the honor, which I certainly don't deserve, of saying anything to large numbers of people. But I would think one of the most obvious things is Christians need to be courageous.
Amen.
We need to face the fact that we're going to be mocked, ridiculed, scorned, cast out from polite society, despised. We need to face that. And being willing to face that, I think, gives you courage to do things that you might not otherwise do.
Yes.
And many Christians say, oh, I don't want to get into this issue because I'm going to be attacked. Well, of course you're going to be attacked.
Welcome to the club.
Christians are always going to be attacked. I mean, that goes with the territory. But I think probably not most of your audience. Many Christians have become very complacent about sort of being able to go to church without persecution, having a fairly easy life, and not really needing to be stretched. When in fact, what the Lord wants to do is to stretch every Christian, not to breaking point, but to the point of the expansion of their talent and gifts and abilities in a way that can really bless people. And we really need to be willing to be pushed by God to that situation.
Oh, that we would be willing for that very thing. David Aikman, a great thinker. And you're in that place of life now, David, where I think the thoughts you have, the time you spent ruminating on a life, investigating what God is up to, is going to yield some beautiful things for the body of Christ. And I encourage you, my friend, to never stop writing, never stop sharing, because you have some incredible things to share with us, and we are glad to sit at your feet. David Aikman, a previous reporter and bureau chief for Time Magazine and an author extraordinaire, I encourage our listeners to look up his biographies on Billy Graham. He's got a full-length biography. It's still in print. And Great Souls, a compilation of great mini-biographies on people that have influenced the past 100 years in the West. David Aikman, thank you so much for sharing your heart and your time with us on Compassion Radio.
Thank you so much, Brad, for inviting me on.
Friends, here at Compassion Radio, we certainly do thank the Lord for you. Especially those who support this ministry have again proven themselves faithful. It's a wonderful thing. For it's not only an act of faith in supporting this ministry, but we here live by faith. Here's one last important word from Bram Floria.
In just a few more days, we'll begin our 75th year of ministry, which, when you think of it, is an astounding achievement in broadcasting. It's also a testament to the generations of faithful partnership that has truly changed the world. In the days and weeks ahead, we'll be sharing some incredible new projects and initiatives that are going to have a profound and lasting effect on the body of Christ around the world. What is in the works is going to seriously amaze some of our most loyal supporters and inspire a whole new level of compassionate action and ministry. All of these things are directly related to the faithful support of partners, and that means you. Would you consider a special anniversary gift to the Lord for the work of Compassion Radio this month, even today? We have a truly unique mandate, you know this, to connect you with the work and witness of the worldwide kingdom of God. We bring you kingdom news that can transform your life, but we can only get those stories and bring them to you if you send us. Thank you for remembering us today with your special gifts and offerings. They are essential to our current work and to the future of Compassion Radio. Please give as generously as you can, and please do it today. And I can say with confidence of years witnessing this myself, God is truly pleased when we reach out and reach deep. God bless you, friends.
For your gift this month, we'd love to send you the first part of a new companion study to an upcoming series on the book of Ecclesiastes. It's available in PDF format by email or printed and mailed. The full study will be available this spring. Ask for your Section 1 today by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail, contact us at Compassion Radio. Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And, of course, you can find us online safe and secure at CompassionRadio.com. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Bram, Cher, and the entire Compassion Radio team, have a wonderful day in the Lord. And we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.